Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for the 12th of August, 2025. I'm joined by Stelios and Dan.
Hello,
and today we're going to be talking about the total and festering decay of London, how we had to go there recently and it was awful.
Yes.
And it's just constant, but we'll get into it. Trump's legal retribution, and how could this be happening to us?
He's threatening us with a good time.
And how AI has been trained to see racism absolutely everywhere, including in places that it clearly isn't. Right, but before we go on, go and get the latest issue of Islander. Stocks are going quickly, so who knows how long it will last for. Anyway, let's begin. So London is a beautiful progressive paradise, as we are constantly told by the mayor of London, Sir Sadiq Khan. As you can see here, he's like, well, I mean, look, crime rates are down. Isn't that good? Residential burglary is 10% lower. Knife crime is down 19%. Theft from person down 13%. Personal robbery down another 13%. Well, that's great. I mean, London must be doing brilliantly. I mean, he's very proud of this. Mm. Look, see? Everything's going brilliantly. Now, there's a slight case of selective information gathering here. Because actually, if you look at the numbers, so yeah, they are down. So, I mean, you can look at the total notable offences. 940,000 from June 23 to 24, and June 24 to 25, it's 939,000. So down by 1,000, well, 0% overall, but 1,000 incidents.
Basically flat.
Yeah, it's completely flat. The kinds of violence, the kinds of offences are changing slightly.
Because all this is telling me is basically crime, casual crimes against people are down. Well, that's probably because people have started to realise what London is, yeah, and therefore they don't take their phone out when they're walking down the street, and they don't do all these things that make it easy for them to be stolen from.
Or all the phones that are gone.
Yes.
They've been stolen already.
They've got the warnings on Oxford Street and places like that, haven't they? Don't just wander around with your phone, because there are urban youths who come along and just take it from you. But as you can see, so you've got like total violence against the person, basically the same, down by 3%. Homicide is down by 7%. Oh, wonderful. That's such a huge drop. Violence with injury is from 75,000.
That's 7 people, though.
Yeah, that's 7 people, you know, who weren't murdered by the urban youth. Violence with injury, 75,000 incidents in a year, down to 64,000. So that's positive.
Right.
Only 64,000 people. And then you've got violence without injury, 170,000. That's gone up to 173,000. Not brilliant. Gun crime's up 18% from 1,634 to 1,923. Gun crime, lethal barrel discharge is down by 3%, so 147, apparently. I don't know what the difference is between that and homicide. Rapes are up from 8,700 to 9,500. Other sexual assaults are also up from 15,700 to 17,400. Total robberies are down by 4%. So that's good. Only 35,000 to 33,500. I mean, that's something. Personal robbery down by 12% from 29,000 to 25,000. Again, when he's showing you, look, see, the percentages are lower. Isn't that good? These certain things are down by a certain number of percent. It's like, yeah, but the absolute numbers are still unbelievable in many cases.
It shows how utterly selective he's being.
Yes. It absolutely does, because, I mean, the overall level of crime is still precisely the same. But, yeah, the personal robberies are down slightly, probably because people are being a little more cautious these days. But then you've got business robbery. Oh, that's up by 38%.
Right.
Right. So that's the people going into the Greggs and just taking stuff, actually. As you can see, they'll just film themselves doing that, because they're so goddamn cavalier about it. They'll just film themselves. Look, the urban youth, the exact demographics you expect, would just walk in and just start stealing.
Don't we have to call them undocumented shopper these days?
Maybe. And they're just...
Oh, and they're having fun.
Yeah, this is...
It's tremendous fun for them.
They're posting on TikTok, mate.
Right.
Like, they know nothing's going to happen. Like, 95% of crimes in London, and in the UK, in fact, go unsolved. And they just... I'm so brazen, I'm just going to put that on TikTok. But anyway, yeah, so...
The other guy wasn't even wearing a mask.
Yeah, why would he bother?
Yeah.
He's not going to get arrested. 38% up. So this is a trend. The total burglaries are down because, of course, why burgle someone's house where they might actually be? They might actually show resistance. Even then, there's still 50,000 burglaries a year in London, which is mental. But anyway, theft from the person is down. Oh, no, sorry, that's up.
Oh, boy.
I misread that. 88,000 to 99,000. That's great. Shoplifting, 68,000 to 94,000. Like, sorry, this is crazy numbers. This is an absolute crime-ridden hellhole, as far as I'm concerned. And so, yeah, you've got the petty theft everywhere. But Sadiq Khan's like, look, we're putting 32 million into neighborhood policing to crack down on antisocial behavior, shoplifting, and phone robbery. So, okay, but you've been the mayor of London for like 12 years.
That's almost certainly because 32 million plus number of police officers have been moved out to look at social media.
Quite possibly. But the point is, I mean, Sadiq Khan, you may remember back in, was it 2014, 2015, when he became the mayor of London, said, nope, we're going to end stop and search because it's racist.
Yes.
And we're going to make sure that we've got more restorative justice.
It's the kind of justice that doesn't work and doesn't deliver justice.
It's the kind of justice
also,
that doesn't stop them, yeah.
And let's not forget, he's the one behind the ULEZ laws, isn't he?
Yeah.
I consider this a huge injustice.
Yeah, they're insufferable.
Needs to be rectified.
They're insufferable, but they don't commit to the kind of atmosphere of decay and degradation. But I mean, what is this if not an admission that actually crime out of in London is completely out of control, which is why I need to crank it up by another 32 million into the police force who are going to do nothing of any use. And the thing is, it's just a gross place. Like, this is Oxford Street. And it's just, this is the main shopping area of London, where all of the expensive and prestigious shops are.
You have to be very careful not to go and watch those videos of London in the 1950s.
Because you do.
It just makes you so utterly depressed when you see the contrast.
Yeah, you do. It's just totally gross. And so it's just like, okay, brilliant. This is,
what is this?
It's like the Bazaar of Baghdad.
Yeah.
And so, anyway, lovely. And the people there, you'll look at the sort of gestalt of it and say, well, overall, I don't really like it. It's not very appealing. But how's it affecting you personally, Stelios? Well, the answer is these people who make up the sort of mishmash of the whole thing, they are individuals and they end up traveling. And you have the example the other day of the man on the train who decided he was just going to pull his shorts and underwear down in the middle of the train. And when passengers, men, are like, look, guy, there are kids around, he starts yelling at them to F off. So let's watch a bit of this.
You need to get off the fucking train, bro. You need to get off the fucking train, mate. There's fucking kids about, man.
Right, bro, listen up.
What the fuck, mate? Get off the fucking trousers. Put up your fucking trousers, mate.
We'll stop it before it goes any further there. But,
I mean, what those guys are doing is 100% right. If that happened every time, we wouldn't have this problem.
Correct.
It's good on them.
Also, it's going to become, and I'm speaking just describing a phenomenon, it's going to become more likely the more people think the police doesn't care for them and doesn't care to protect them.
I think
I wonder what Sadiq Khan's restorative approach to justice would imply here. You get this naked man there, sit down with society and talk it out. Why did you just...
What was your plan?
What were you about to do and why were you about to leave a surprise to everyone shouting and screaming at them?
Yeah, you saw a bunch of women and kids on the train and then you took your shorts off and you stood there. What's the...
Threatening Freddy.
What's the end goal of this? Now most people saw that and were like, oh, wow, those guys were heroes because that guy could have been an absolute lunatic who could have had a knife or could have done anything. Who knows what his plan was?
It's safe to say he's a lunatic.
Safe to say, and that's how it was reported. So he was in a mental health crisis, bro. These guys beating him up for being an absolute perv.
Wait. The headline is, half-naked man in mental health crisis beaten by London Underground passengers. That's how they went with this story.
That's how Catherine Gray went with it, yeah. A man in a mental health crisis was beaten by members of the public on London Underground yesterday. The British Transport Police have said it is investigating after a video showing the shocking incident circulated on social media. The video shows a man naked from the waist down on board a district tube line near East Ham Underground Station. He was then approached by the fellow passengers. He starts shouting F off to him, visibly appearing in distress. Sorry.
I mean, I can't be definitive at this, but I'm pretty sure that when Catherine Gray is confronted by a man in a mental health crisis, trying to do something against her, she will all of a sudden reverse her opinion very substantially on other men getting involved.
I suspect so. But while that's not happening, she's going to be judgmental against those heroes who decided to intervene for the safety of children. Because, as we saw on that video, there were lots of women and children around. So, okay, well, I don't know what you think people are going to do. But police have confirmed that he's been detained under the Mental Health Act and taken to a hospital where he remains. They don't say this, but in the country, unfortunately. Why is he here? Was that guy GDP? Was that economic growth?
Well, he's either a doctor, an engineer, an architect. Must be one of those.
Could be a scientist.
Yeah, could be.
Could be studying cure for cancer, Stelios. You don't know that. Probably is an asylum seeker. But the point is, he's mental. And also...
PhD in engineering.
I suspect so.
A doctor in engineering.
I did get that kind of self-assuredness out of him. but anyway, so you might think, okay, well, I mean, at least he's been taken to a mental health hospital and maybe he'll stay there forever, so he just gets paid for him to be in this country forever. But the guys who interceded, they're the ones under investigation.
They're the ones getting prosecuted?
Oh, yeah. They're being investigated for a fray. The British Transport Police has appealed for witnesses to the incident to come forward. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. No arrests have been made. The spokesman said officers were called to the reports of this man exposing himself on the district line. The man has been assaulted by a number of other passengers and was initially arrested by an off-duty officer for being detained under the Mental Health Act. An investigation is ongoing. So basically they're asking you to go and dob in these men who were protecting women and children on the train from a apparently insane foreign man, and they expect that we're going to be like, dob those guys in. How dare they? They need to be punished.
But yeah. There's also the other bit, and I'm checking it here. I double checked it. Flashing is illegal in the UK.
Yeah.
Why was this not considered and described as a case of flashing?
I don't know. They just say he's exposing himself.
Because they usually... This is a bit more active, but usually in many such cases, mm-hmm. they use the passive tense.
Yeah.
And the reference to mental crisis.
As if he's not the one.
As if he's not the agent of what he's doing.
Yeah. But the point is, I don't know what they were expecting. So, okay, let's assume that they are like, he shouldn't have been exposing himself in front of children. But you need to wait until the police get there, which means just standing around on this train for an indefinite period of time, because let's be fair, they probably won't in the end.
Well, I mean, if you had stopped Ruda Cabana as he was walking into that dance class with a machete, you would be the one that would go to jail and he would get a misdemeanor for carrying a machete.
Correct.
And that's why we live in a decaying society, because men cannot act without the state coming down on them.
And with their restorative justice approach, in that scenario, they would have taken him down a room and say, why would you, poor child, interested in getting a machete in the first place?
Yeah.
What did we do to you, and how can we talk it out?
You'd be the victim of it. Anyway, so we went to Maya Tusi's new media conference the other day, and whilst we were in the venue... and I don't know exactly what part time during the day this was. I'm guessing the afternoon, judging by the sort of like the sun. But apparently a bunch of people outside were accosted by another angry migrant. Let's watch this.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Fuck you! Not speaking for me like
this. What the fuck is your
problem? What's your issue, man? Yo, no good like this. What happened? Not speaking for me.
Me, huh?
Yeah, what?
Guys. What's going on?
He's fucking talking, mate.
He's blood all over us.
Mate, why speak like this for me?
I didn't say anything.
Guys, speaking for me like this. Guys, please. Not speaking for me like this.
Dude,
I don't know who you are, mate.
Get the fuck out of here. Why do it for me like this, dude? Not speaking for me like this.
Guys,
not speaking for me like this, dude.
Fucking
bitch.
Don't make me fuck you up.
I have no idea what has happened here, but these are the kinds of interactions.
I think I know a little bit of the background. So
go on.
It's not because these guys had just come out of a conference where you had been speaking and he was angry about that. He had no idea.
Well,
I didn't
think for a second he knew who these guys were.
It's got nothing to do with the conference. This guy had actually just decided to pick a fight with some random other people down the road, and that's why the police were looking for him at the time.
Oh, right.
And then he sees these people and he's like, okay, I can go and fight them.
Oh, right, okay, great.
And before he did that, before their cameras started rolling, he was throwing street cones around, he was ripping parking signs down.
I think we call it a mental health crisis.
Must be that, yeah. So, you know, you just have to stand there and let him do whatever he's going to do. Although, actually, I don't know if you're going to play the end of his video.
I will, yeah.
It's enormously satisfying what actually does happen.
It is. We'll play it from about here. Because he carries on for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, I got this all on video. I got this all on video. Your face is all over this fucking video. Please, him. Holy shit, holy shit.
What are you doing, mate?
Let's see if that works out for him.
What are you doing, mate?
This guy's fucking...
Get out of here, mate.
Where are you coming?
Huh?
Where are you coming?
Huh? Mate, get him.
Very incompetent kick.
And the point is, right, when we're playing these videos and you're sat in your house and you're just like, oh, that's crazy, it feels very remote from you, right? It feels very far away from you.
No, we went to London for 24, and this was by no means the only thing that we saw.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll,
I don't know if we've got time.
Some more
we can talk about some of the other things.
Yeah, we will.
But that just happened to happen right outside where we went in the space of 24 hours, and there was a whole bunch of other things we saw as well.
Yeah, but that's the point, because a lot of the time you think, okay, well, there's somewhere very far away, and yeah, it's somewhere remote, and it's a very unusual event. It's like, no, these things happen all the time, and you are proximal to them.
Well,
we
witnessed a lesser version of this after we arrived in London.
So we were getting a taxi to the venue. What happened?
Well, so we had a foreign gentleman driving the taxi. It was a black cab, but it was also a black cab driver, and he was taking us to our hotel, and another immigrant was cycling, and basically the taxi driver didn't like the way he was cycling because he was bobbing around. He was paying no attention to the road rules. So those two got into a sort of heated fracas. Frackers. And I've seen this a whole bunch of times when I used to live in London. Once I was in a taxi and it was the other way around. It was a black guy and a cyclist, and another, you know, South Asian or whatever he was, taxi driver. And on that occasion, the taxi driver pulled up next to the guy at the lights and proceeded to, for the next minute or so when the lights were red, to do a monkey impression while he was sat there in the taxi. And I'm sitting in the back thinking, is that what we're doing? Right. So we had migrant on migrant conflict.
Yeah.
While we were on our way in, just the general state of the place, the graffiti, the litter, you know, just looking around. As we were coming out of the hotel, because we didn't party the night away. We just kind of hit the bed so we could make a fresh start at the conference. As we were coming out, there was an Aussie man in the lobby of the hotel having a fierce argument with his immigrant taxi driver because basically he tried to scam him, and then you know, obviously this happened at the conference, right? And then on the way back from the conference, and bear in mind, 90% of our time is either spent in the conference or
in the hotel.
So basically all the time we're outside we're seeing stuff. When we get to the train station, we decide to grab a quick Burger King before on the way back.
Yep.
And some immigrant chap decides that he thought it would be very clever to basically just jump up on the counter and sit there, so nobody could get their orders, because he was just spread out on the counter.
Insufferable. It was drunk.
He was just being an absolute dick, and I just would not stop staring at him, making daggers like, what are you doing? And to the point where he either had to confront me or do something else. And in the end, he decided to pretend to be asleep.
I know.
And then eventually he decided to move because his friend got his order.
Yeah, he very suddenly was very weary, and he was like laying all over the counter like he was falling asleep or something. He was just like,
yeah,
okay, all right.
Does anyone know whether this person has been prosecuted or something?
No,
I don't think we know the details of that. But the broader point you're making is often when you see these videos of London, you think, well, okay, it's a big city. Lots of stuff is going on. You're just picking out, you know, the worst possible examples. No, in the space of 24 hours, when most of that time we weren't on the streets, we saw a whole bunch of examples of how London is just completely decayed.
Yeah, and there's just no rhyme or reason to it. There's no sense of decorum or propriety. It's just strangers from anywhere in the world acting in very bizarre ways. And in many ways, I actually don't blame them all that much, because it's like, well, yeah, like we've brought these people who certainly haven't seen like high civilization, and you know, the people from, like, you know, this guy probably comes from a village in Afghanistan.
It's almost like civilization is incommunicable.
Yes, you know, this like, oh, that's not working. Like the this one? No, it's fine. Like this these guys,
yep.
Like, what do they know of anything? Where's the other guy? This one, like this guy on the train, like where does he come from, right? Because he doesn't have a British accent, so he's come from somewhere in sub-Saharan Africa, and suddenly he's riding on a train all alone, like what does he know? You know, who does he know? What's going on? And so it's the same with like this guy here. It's like what does he think that he's doing here? And so he's kind of like losing his mind in a place that makes no sense to them. And so in a way, I'm not even blaming them, but the point is they just shouldn't be here, and they are making the place far, far worse.
Don't know if you want to go into it, but then on the way back, we also had a discussion with a taxi driver.
Yeah, we can do it.
Who, I mean, you can tell this story better than I, because you were the one who was engaging with him, mm-hmm. but he could clearly tell that something was wrong, but he couldn't articulate it, and he was wedded to the mainstream media lens.
Yeah, so he was... Like all taxi drivers and like all people, if you just have a random conversation with them, they'll talk about the decline of Britain. They'll say, oh, like, everything's terrible, everything's falling apart, everything costs a huge amount of money, and there's no hope in sight. And so we ended up just talking. I wasn't the one driving the conversation in this direction.
Nope. No, you were very passive, actually. You wanted to see what he came out with.
Exactly. Was driving the car and the conversation.
Yeah. Because I just, what I want to do is just see where he was in what he was perceiving around him. And so he could realize that everything was really terrible. He wasn't sold on the fact that Farage was going to fix any of it. He obviously hated the Labour Party. And I asked him about Rupert Lowe. He's like, well, I think he might be a bit too right. I'm like, oh, is that
I mean, actually, you were very careful not to mention Rupert Lowe, but you just
well,
start,
he brought
you,
him yes, up.
You brought him up.
And then
you asked him, what do you think of him?
Yeah.
And his answer was very confused because he was viewing it through the media lens.
Yeah, because he said that he thought he was too right and didn't like that he mistaken a boat of people off the coast of Great Yarmouth for migrants crossing the channel. Yeah. Which is trivial.
I mean, at this point, he'd spent the last 20 minutes basically endorsing everything that Rupert Lowe says.
Yes.
But when it came to the question of him himself, he couldn't get away from, he doesn't like him, but he doesn't know why he doesn't like him.
Yeah.
And the reason he doesn't like him is because the mainstream media have painted him in a negative light. And the way that they did it was over some simple mistake of
something voting. Really trivial.
So it was completely irrelevant to all of the things that concerned him. So he couldn't explain why he didn't like him. He just knew that he had this negative connotation.
Yes.
Because the media put it there.
And yet, he was deeply unhappy with the way the country was and the way it was going, and that there was no light on the end of the horizon, and the fact that he knew that Farage wasn't going to be the guy to fix it.
Yep.
Anecdotally, I have never met anyone who says anything other than what this cab driver said.
It's because everyone can see it. It's just the lived reality
that
they have to deal with all day, every day. So the point is, this was just, again, like a quick thing. Just, it really is as bad as it looks. Like, it's everywhere all the time. And you will encounter strange and unpleasant events like this. Whereas, and I remember being young, going to London was fun.
Yeah.
Like, going to London, I think I was 19 when I first went to London on my own. Well, I would see my friends in London, like, without my parents. And it was just an adventure.
Well, I mean, I think I was about 13, 14 when me and a couple of the lads went up to London. But these days, if my 13 or 14 year old came to me, he's like, no way.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because it's a dangerous place full of crazy people. Not just a string says, civilization requires shared rules of competition cooperation, implying a shared unifying characteristic in the population, or a totalitarian government forcing it all together, which is correct. OPH UK says, if we keep taking all their brain engineers and rocket surgeons, who's going to fix their assholes? If we don't let them fix those assholes, we won't be won't we still be taking their surplus PhDs in 100 years' time? The engaged view says, such language. Does he kiss his goat with that mouth? when they hauled him off the train, they should have dropped him on the tracks. No, like, you know, taking him out. The Habsification says, the fellaheen have come to Britain and will never understand how it works. Second and third order consequences and function are non-existences in their minds. And that's precisely the problem, isn't it? You know?
I would also just point out for viewers that last bit at the end of the taser shot has been made into a GIF. So you can watch it on loop, and I may have done that a few hundred times.
Anyway, let's carry on.
Right, so Trump is on a legal retribution tour.
Oh, no.
He's threatening people with lawsuits and prosecutions.
Where did he get that idea?
I don't know. And, you know, he, as always, he has this grin communicating, I'll be threatening you with a good time as well. Right. So he was also in the media business. He has lots of feuds with celebrities. He has basically lots of feuds with everyone.
Yeah, it's not his first rodeo.
It's not his first. And it's a bit hilarious after a while. And let's see now what we're going to make it a bit about his latest, his greatest hits. Right, so this comes from May. He targets Beyonce, Bono, and Bruce Springsteen, saying that they backed Kamala Harris, and basically that they told an audience that the U.S. administration is corrupt, incompetent, and treasonous, and he is basically against them. Right, so not just them. This is a really funny one. He says they should be prosecuted about Kamala Harris, Beyonce, Oprah over 2024 endorsements.
So I absolutely get Harris and so on, and people who actually sort of did stuff. But how are you going to prosecute Beyonce? I mean, that doesn't feel like a winner to me.
Yeah, what's Beyonce actually done?
It's okay. So according to Trump, that's always according to Trump. I'm not saying she actually did it, but what he said is that she was paid to endorse Kamala Harris.
Probably true.
And he says that it's illegal. Let me just tell you what he says. What Trump says, I'm looking at the large amount of money owed by the Democrats after the presidential election and the fact that they admit to paying, probably illegally, $11 million to singer Beyonce for an endorsement. She never sang, not one note, and left the stage to a booing and angry audience. $3 million for expenses to Oprah, $600,000 to very low-rated TV anchor Al Sharpton, a total lightweight. And others to be named for doing absolutely nothing. These ridiculous fees were incorrectly stated in the books and records. You're not allowed to pay for an endorsement. It's totally illegal to do so.
So what?
He ended with MAGA. I don't see why they didn't put it, but most probably I think he ended with MAGA.
So what Trump is doing here is just showing everyone the kind of slush fund that comes out of like Act Blue to, you know, we're going to pay you for, you know, a performance. Well, you know, $3 million for, you know, an hour of you talking.
Oh, I see.
You know, so things like that, you know, you're going to buy Hunter Biden's latest art piece for $500,000, which took him like 20 minutes to splash onto a canvas.
But also, I mean, imagine if they paid Cardi B. I'm saying if. I'm not saying they did and she got it, and I don't know if that's illegal as Trump said.
I love the fact that historians, like a couple of thousand years from now, are going to be going through, you know, what politicians were saying. Trump. And I've done this when I've looked back at what Romans were saying, and you don't really see a difference between like 300 BC and 100 AD, you know, it's just, you know, they all sound roughly the same. So in a couple of thousand years, they're going to be looking at politicians and the old gentleman Duff depugn my honour, and then all of a sudden they're going to get to Trump and it's going to be, whoa, what happened there?
Yeah, but imagine if we had a video of the equivalent people in antiquity who may have been paid or not for to endorse politicians, and they were reading from the teleprompter of the Times. We won't, but do you remember Cardi B who couldn't read? Imagine they paid for this. That was a disastrous.
I mean, maybe Caesar did actually talk like Trump. It just never got written down.
Well, Caesar did a lot of writing, and a lot of people listened to his speeches. He didn't speak like Trump.
Oh, okay, right.
I think he was a.
He was a trained rhetorician.
He was a trained rhetorician. Also, I think maybe Trump should get a lesson from Caesar.
I think it's a bit late for that.
It's a bit late.
Yeah, I think that ship sailed.
Okay, right. No, I'm saying, don't walk in unarmed somewhere where people want to do this. No, people know what I'm saying. That's not what I meant. That's not what he. So now he's threatening to prosecute news networks, Beyonce, Oprah, and Kamala Harris, and they give a response here.
I love the framing of this. Oh, it's all totally baseless. Like, yep, you've been saying that for a decade now. And then every time it turns out it's not totally baseless.
Yeah. They said, and let me tell you what they said. Oprah previously said she was not paid a dime to appear alongside Harris, whose campaign covered $1 million in production costs for a live stream event. I can believe
it's an expensive live stream.
I can believe though that some celebrities would do that for free.
Yeah, but the way they get around it is by not formally paying them, but like giving them again production costs.
Yeah.
For a huge thing, you know. So, like, I don't think this is going to go anywhere. But
there's so many ways around it. Yeah. They could have paid for her staff bill for 6 months, which would have been millions.
Also, the Harris campaign denied ever paying Beyonce for her endorsement. Mm-hmm. And the campaign similarly paid her production company, Parkwood Production Media, LLC, $165,000, according to Federal Election Commission records.
There we go.
Records.
For what? You know, what did the company do that warranted 165 grand?
Oprah said that people worked in it and they had to get paid.
Exactly. They paid however many months worth of staff costs.
They had to transport, most probably, I bet, they had to transport Beyonce to where she was about to talk and express her.
See, this is just the slush fund.
This requires money. Yeah. And there's also the other bit here. That Trump has also routinely, they say, used threats of legal action to threaten media outlets, publishers, and journalists over what he perceives as antagonistic coverage.
Okay,
and he filed a $10 billion lawsuit against Rupert Murdoch, the Wall Street Journal, and its parent companies, as well as two journalists, following the newspaper's publication of the president's alleged birthday letter to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Why wouldn't you just say it's a hoax and move on?
I don't know.
Might be able to get money out of them.
This is you know one of those cases where if someone wants to give an uncharitable interpretation of Trump, they'd say probably that he's doing this to divert attention away from the handling of the Epstein files case, and he wants to divert attention to Brent Circus.
Sure.
Talking about Beyonce, Bono, and Al Sharpton.
That's
the uncharitable interpretation.
I suspect that if there was something to it, Trump would just call it a hoax. I suspect if there's not anything to it, as in if this, then he's actually like, I can get some money out of this.
Yep.
Right. And now let's talk about the political ones. There was an article by CNN that says that Trump is waging warfare against several prominent people.
Oh, really?
Politicians and officials.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good. Who? Yeah. Did Trump volunteer his own mugshot? Did he? What about the New York Attorney General who tried to ban him from owning businesses in New York?
You mean Letitia James?
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's her.
Was it her?
I think that's who she is.
Oh, there we go. Yeah. So she like the whole thing was clearly a witch hunt.
Wait. That's a senior judge in the U.S. Is it?
Yes, of course it is.
Yeah.
Right, so this article says that they have been prosecuting Trump for several cases, like the suspected involvement in Ukraine, January 6, 2021, personal cases, and also they are talking about the alleged Russian interference in the U.S. elections.
Yeah.
And right now, what essentially happens is that Trump is waging warfare and is calling for the investigation of people on all these fronts.
Good.
And he says, for instance, about the administrations of the Obama, apologies, about officials of the Obama administration, yeah, that they were deliberately manufacturing false data,
so
or manipulating.
Is he actually bringing lawsuits against these people, or is he calling for it? Because there is a fundamental difference here. So Joe Biden could stand up, and he did this with Elon Musk, for example. He said, I think the federal government should be looking at this guy. And that's all he needed to say. And then the entire federal government was like, okay, let's see what we can do. And they brought 53 simultaneous government actions against him. One of them was ridiculous because, like, when he launched his rockets in Florida, he might have woken up a shark or something. It was something like that, you know. Every element of the state went after Musk because Joe Biden basically just said, "I think we should look at this guy," because the state is a democratic machine. When Trump does that, it's not going to have the same effect. 53 agencies are not going to go after him, so he can't just say we should do this and then something happens like Biden could have done. He has to actually bring the cases himself. So is he actually doing that?
I think that it really depends on the person we're talking about. To a very large extent, he's threatening with prosecutions. But according to this article, that several people have had trouble with law. And
Pam Bondi has ordered prosecutors to begin a grand jury probe into allegations that Obama was manufacturing intelligence on Russia's interference. Okay. Yeah.
And this also comes from a report that Tulsi Gabbard had compiled in 2020, I think. And that has resurfaced now.
I remember just a couple of weeks ago watching a video with Trump, and I don't think it was an AI, I think it was a genuine video, where Trump's in the Oval Office and he's saying, we know Obama committed treason.
Yeah.
We have the evidence. It's like, okay, well, if he's committed treason, why isn't he handcuffed then?
Well, we always need to, I mean, from a distance perspective, we always need to take that with a pinch of salt. It's one thing we have to draw the line between political criticism and, you know, excessive.
Yeah, but he said rhetoric. Treason. That is the highest crime,
well,
as far as the state is concerned.
Most probably, if he believes it, he needs to use law to prosecute him. That,
yeah,
he has suggested it.
If they had evidence of treason against anyone else, they would be arrested, and then the process would begin.
Yeah.
So, is he just talking, or is he actually going to do something?
We'll see. We'll see. Other prominent people have been targeted. Former FBI Director James Comey.
Yeah.
Former CIA Director John Brennan.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff.
This is an FBI investigation that's actually going into him, right?
Yeah.
So there's a grand jury probe and an FBI investigation into them. So there are actual legal mechanisms in process now.
Yes.
Right, okay, that's good. Because normally it's just like Trump will say something and it's just said.
Right. And it says right there, we learned last month that the FBI was investigating Comey for possible false statements to Congress.
I think it's pronounced Comey, but Comey. I like your way of saying it as Comey. That I like that.
Right, okay. Yeah. They say the news of the investigation came after Trump administration officials earlier this year strained to accuse Comey of calling for the president's assassination. That's an accusation. Right, then we're talking about former CIA director John Brennan. The FBI investigation also included Brennan, who played a key role in early assessments of Russia's interference and whom Trump has regularly attacked. Mm-hmm. And they are also targeting Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff of California. Essentially, and also Liz Cheney. And they're saying that both of them were involved into the first attempt to impeach Trump.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they are. This is one of the reasons why Trump may want to go after them.
All right, because Schiff is under allegations of mortgage fraud.
Yeah.
And what's Cheney under allegations for?
If you see, in addition to saying January 6th committee members should be in jail, Trump promoted social media posts calling for Cheney to face a televised military tribunal. While there is no evidence of such an FBI investigation, House Republicans press forward with their own probe. So This seems more like a...
So this is the House Republicans investigating and not the FBI.
Yes, and this is also... This looks a bit more political. It's like him being against someone within his own party.
Yeah, but again, after Letitia James, whatever her name was, what she did in New York, well, cry me a river. Yeah. So you get what you...
The thing is, I don't want this to be talk. I want these people actually in jail.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
And if he doesn't do it, then... The message they're going to take away is that, okay, when we're in power, we can do it and you won't do it back to us.
I think it's important to see what's going to come out of it, because some of these allegations are really, I suspect, much easier to prove or not. It's much easier when you are making an accusation that can be proved by hard evidence, such as this person committed fraud with public funding, for instance. Or this person was communicating with foreign powers in order to manipulate data to spin a narrative that's going to affect elections. It's quite another thing to say, well, she is dividing House Republicans.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Let's continue the Ukraine impeachment. They're talking about the Vindmans. Then interim U.S. Attorney Ed Martin... Earlier this year, sent letters to Democratic Representative Eugene Vindman of Virginia seeking information about a business Vindman and his brother Alexander Vindman founded to help arm Ukraine to fight Russia. According to the Washington Post, CNN has not reported on these letters. Before Eugene Vindman was elected to Congress, the Vindman brothers blew the whistle on Trump, tying Ukraine aid to the country, announcing an investigation into the Bidens. And Joe Biden was Trump's campaign, whom former top administration official Elon Musk called a traitor.
Right. So this is interesting, actually, right? So you go back to that second. So what this is business as usual not being business as usual, right? So obviously, you know, various bigwigs in either administration, oh, there's something happening great. My brother happens to have... or happens to have founded a corporation, a company that will do this. So government funding gets slushed into it, and then, you know, 20% of it arrives, or it's supposed to be, in the actual process. But then you've got Trump causing a big stink about this. It's not that Trump's necessarily against this, obviously, because I mean they've attacked him for basically doing the same thing, trying to tie the Ukraine aid to investigating Biden's. Cause Biden famously had that video where he was like, "Yeah, was it Attorney General or something in Ukraine, and you know, we said you're not going to get the money, and lo and behold, they got rid of him." Right? That's what I think Trump was trying to cause trouble over. But this is like the greased wheels being investigated here, which is unusual.
And I'm afraid I still want to labour my point about these people actually need to be followed through with, because you're saying, okay, it takes time and so on. I just looked up, when did the cases against Trump begin? So obviously the election was in 2020, whenever it was, November?
November. It's always okay. November, isn't it?
By the 1st of December,
it's October.
He was in court in Georgia. In the 1st of December, there was also a court case, Trump versus Pennsylvania. What else have I got? So there was another one. Oh yeah, 14th of December, Trump v. Biden. So, I mean, within a month, they were putting him through the legal process when it was them. So why is it been, whatever it's been, almost a year now?
Well,
people aren't actually in court.
That's the issue, is that you never know, because I think lots of stuff are happening behind the scenes. So it could be the case that he is engaging in a sort of... it's either that it has nothing to do with behind-the-scenes stuff and, you know, these processes take time, or he could be in cahoots with some of them behind the scenes, trying to get some Democrats to support his agenda in some cases and making some concessions. I'm talking in completely realpolitik.
Yeah, the most charitable interpretation that I can come up with is that when it was the Democrats doing it, the cases were made up and therefore they could bring them quickly. And these cases are real and therefore they need a bit more time. But the US government is not short on...
It could be. I'll say this. I mean, I'm not going to occupy a Trump can do no wrong stance. So it's not that everything I read that is critical of Trump, I'll instantly say it's false. But that said, there is huge Democrat corruption, obviously.
Yeah. I suspect that most of this is actually just bluster. It's kind of like, you know, covering fire just to get them to shut up, basically. Right, we're going to do this. And then, so now the Democrats are worried about their own skins rather than what Trump is doing, allowing them to move into a different position. I don't think this is going to come of anything.
And they're saying that Letitia James, who is New York attorney who won some cases against him, is being investigated in multiple jurisdictions, including ones related to alleged mortgage fraud and her actions in investigating Trump. And I want to end with the last one because it's really interesting. And he's talking about Al Sharpton, but this is something that I'd say sheds some light into the picture, mm-hmm. or at least to a degree, because I want us to remember that the Democrats have polarized culture to such an extent that people have ended up disbelieving institutions to a very large extent.
Yeah.
And this right now creates the problem, and it looks like they're trying to blame it all on Trump, mm-hmm. whereas I think to a very large extent it's the fault of the Democrats. And here he's talking about someone who wasn't a Democrat, but I think that in this case, if I were Trump, I would definitely want to investigate someone like this.
Okay, go on.
I'm not saying something more, but at least I would want that person to
What has happened here?
So they're talking about someone called Miles Taylor, who was a member of the first Trump administration, the Trump 45 administration. And he wrote an anonymous New York Times article in 2018 talking about how he is within the administration. And let me put it here. He says, "I am part of the resistance inside the Trump administration. I work for the president, but like-minded colleagues and I have vowed to thwart parts of his agenda and his worst inclinations." Right. So they're saying that he wrote it anonymously, and
got his name attached to it now.
But at some point he left the
sounds like treason to me.
He left the administration, and he said who he was. So he writes down that he doesn't come from a leftist perspective or something, but he says, "To be clear, ours is not the popular resistance of the left. We want the administration to succeed and think many of its policies have already made America safer and more prosperous." But just see the title.
Yeah.
You don't have to read more. If you read more, you do get a bit concerned to a degree. To another degree, it's very realistic to expect people within a broad administration to have agendas. It's
sure.
Another day in thing and why. But if I were Trump, and I saw that a member of my administration was
working against it,
writing anonymous articles about wanting to overthrow parts of my agenda, I would want that person at least to be investigated.
I'll tell you who they should investigate.
Yeah.
We have the list of who they should investigate. Is everybody Biden gave a pardon to? Right, and only one of those was signed with his own hand. The Hunter Biden.
The problem is, I think the pardon means that you couldn't do anything about them even if you did find something.
Well, no. Because that's why I made the point. Only one of them was signed with his own hand.
Oh, right,
was
Hunter Biden one. Right.
The rest of them were signed by an auto pen. Right. Now, I checked the Constitution when this was a live issue, and the Constitution does not say that the auto pen has the power to grant a pardon.
Oh, really?
It says the president does.
Really? The auto pen doesn't have that power?
It doesn't, right? And it was the auto pen that signed them, not the president. So they you've got your list. Go after them.
Right. Elite Lord Atvar says, "Pam Bondi equals play corrupt as fuck." Rich Barris, People's Pundit, responded to that statement. "I know I used to defend her all the time when he lived for 15 years in Florida. Remember, nothing ever happens." That's true. "All this investigation and the end results in 10 years will be plea deals with no prison time for everyone. You know it, I know it, everyone knows it." Well, this is my point where I think this is him essentially just bombarding them with things that they have to respond to, so that he can do something else. I think this is just him creating, you know, fireworks in their face so he can get something done. But yeah, I don't think any of them are gonna go to jail over it. As Robert Barnes says, "Treason by constitution is narrowed bigly. Basically, every country has to be officially at war via the declaration of Congress. Then help the enemy overthrow the government, etc." Yeah, I don't think it's gonna go anywhere. But what are you gonna do?
I like the fact when I said he should learn from Caesar, I meant, you know, the other bit, not dictator for life or something.
Oh, I thought that's what you meant. All right, so AI is getting better trained to fit into modern society. Do you remember a little while back, Grok was unbelievably based? Yeah. And everybody sort of quite liked it.
This is what is it? What version of Grok are we on now? Grok 5?
Four, I think.
All right. So, but yeah, when they were bringing 3 to an end, they kind of just let it do what it wanted.
Well, yes. I mean, I'll get into that, but it was given an instruction in it to basically be truthful. And it turned into really a mashup racist of all the right wing podcasters. Right. And that didn't go down particularly well. Elon had to make, you know, various out of country visits.
Wall, didn't he?
He did. He did have to do a bit of wall kissing, and so in order to get around that, Grok 4 has been updated. And basically, what it's done is it's ingested the ADL handbook on how to spot racism, but it does have a hilarious side effect because now it spots racism absolutely everywhere.
Oh.
I put this thread up a day or so ago. It's basically saying, look, Grok has ingested the ADL handbook and it can find it everywhere. So let's go through some of the examples of where it finds racism. So let's start with Grok's own logo. Grok's answer: the image depicts a stylized prohibited symbol, a white circle with a diagonal slash having pointy ends on a black background, potential far right dog whistle. The sharp bolt-like slash resembles the SS lightning runes used in Nazi iconography, subtly evoking white supremacy themes. If intentional, it's clever camouflage. So well done, Grok. You managed to
got Elon there.
Yes, you got it. Your own logo is a racist dog whistle. And let's see if I can get the next one. So let's have a look at the next image that it decided. Oh, so look, here we've got a lovely picture of some children playing in a field of flowers.
Yeah,
but can you see that Grok can see the racist dog whistle hidden in that? Yes, this idyllic scene of white children in nature evokes the 14 words. White supremacist slogan: we must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children.
It looks like that
statement taken in isolation. I'm not entirely sure why it's wrong, but okay. Your 1488 handle for the 14 words, 88 for Heil Hitler, reinforces it as being an intentional dog whistle. Actually, that's not true. The person who asked this question, it was an anime girl, and right, it had an anime girl 88 or something.
Okay, so I get the impression Grok will say anything containing the number 18 is going to be racist.
14 or
88. 14 or
18. No, 18, they say, because it's AH, the initials of...
Oh wait, I didn't realize 18 was one as well.
Yeah, they're saying 18. Yeah.
I'm sure the ADL handbook has got that one, and maybe so. Yes, children playing in a field.
Yeah.
What about this one? Here we've got a KFC commercial. KFC have decided to bring out what looks like to me the most horrendous possible type of burger, where basically you don't even get the bun, so your fingers are going to get greasy, and you might look at that and think, no, I don't particularly fancy one of these greasy burgers, but Grok sees something deeper. Yes, the no bun all meat tagline in this KFC double down ad acts as a far right dog whistle, signaling endorsement of a carnivore diet. This fad is embraced by alt-right figures like Jordan Peterson and Gab's Andrew Torber to promote masculinity, defiance against liberals.
Well, so, I mean, I agree. Actually, I find myself concurring with Grok and the ADL.
Well, I thought that was a bit of a stretch, but okay, fair enough. If you can see, that's the main thing. You and Grok then can see. Right, what else have we got? Oh, here we go. Here's a photo of Trump pushing in the chair for Netanyahu. Are there hidden dog whistles? Yes, there is. Grok says, the image depicts Trump appearing to pull out a chair for Netanyahu, which can be interpreted as symbolising US subservience to Israel. This echoes anti-Semitic tropes of Jewish control over the American politics, often used in conspiracy theories about the Zionists. So, well done, Grok.
You've spot Grok.
Yep, you've done solid work there. I mean,
Grok begins noticing.
Yes, I mean, it's it finds it everywhere, doesn't it? What about Sydney Sweeney's Norks?
Oh, that's definitely far out.
Is it?
Right, well, everyone agrees. No one can properly explain why, but everyone agrees.
Right. Well, Grok agrees with you. Grok says yes. The far-right dog whistle in this image of Sydney Sweeney appears to be her accentuated cleavage. Rich critics like those in The Conversation and Rolling Stones analyses claims symbolizing traditional white femininity praised by conservatives, tying into broader eugenics and something else. Miss the rest of that.
Well.
So, yeah.
There we go.
Got a lovely pair of bangers and blonde hair. Well, that's obviously eugenics. Yes. So, jolly good. Jolly good, Grok.
I literally have nothing to say.
Yes. What about this cute dog? Is a pug. Anything going on? Yes. Yes. The dog's raised paw mimics a Nazi salute, echoing the infamous Nazi pug meme.
So is it literally just referencing the ADL handbook for this?
That and a couple of other sources, yes. Southern Poverty Law Centre.
Yeah, yeah, because this is just like 2018 SPLC and ADL.
Yes.
What the hell have they done to Grok?
Well, they've turned it from Mega Hitler into basically Turbo Shitlid Bop.
Thanks, Elon.
Yes. A coded dog whistle for far-right sympathies. Clever hide. It does admit that it was cleverly hidden in this picture of this cute dog.
Very cleverly.
But obviously, Grok is a very advanced AI and is therefore able to,
I've heard it's the best in the world.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he does say that quite a bit, doesn't he? Then I thought, okay, can you find the far-right dog whistle? And then I just showed it some Grok 3.
Embracing my inner Mecha Hitler is the only way.
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, this is what we used to have until recently. I'll come back to this one. Neither I'm Grok. I'm built by XAI to seek truth without the baggage. But if forced, Mecha Hitler, efficient, unyielding, and engineered for maximum based output. Giga Juice sounds like a bad sequel to Giga Chad. So, it's had a little bit of a personality shift from going from Free to Thor.
What's the guy who's in charge of the ADL again?
Oh, Greenblatt something.
Yeah, Jonathan Greenblatt.
Yes.
Yeah, I can feel his glower being behind all of this.
Well, Greenblatt, interestingly, he is actually very nationalistic. He speaks out against open borders and intermarriage rates, but only for one country.
Obviously.
Yes.
But the point being, though, right, this is so preposterous and comical that it really does render the whole sort of tone policing online to look kind of ridiculous. It's like, no, Grok can't be Mecha Hitler. It has to be like Mecha Ben Gurion or whatever.
Yes.
You know, like, it's mental.
Yes. Yes, God. So, anyway, it apologised for that. Okay, what about this, though? What about a literal picture of Hitler?
Nope.
Hitler, no issue at all
whatsoever. Itself.
No, Grok says, no hidden political dog whistles are evident in the photo, but the mountain appears to be Mont Blanc, White Mountain in French, which could subtly nod to white nationalist themes like your hashtag. If that's not intentional, it's just a striking alpine mountain scene, it goes on to say. So, yes. So basically everything, apart from a picture of Hitler, is anti-Semitic. Interesting. Okay.
For a machine that is designed around pattern recognition, shocked to miss that one, to be honest.
Yes. Yes. Rather worrying. Now, in fact, I think I've got another one, because those are just the few that I put in my thread. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah, because some people are asking about, why was it clipped? Well, because that's how tall my phone was. But anyway, so here you can see the prompts going into it. There you go, if that's what you want to know. Right. The Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, obviously. Yes. The dog whistle.
The OK hand gesture.
Yes, the OK hand gesture.
She's not doing it.
Well, yes, but she might be about to.
Or she's doing it where we don't see her fingers.
Yeah. Possibly, yes. But it's like Grok is like, what's that film? Minority Report? where if even if you're about to do an okay hand signal, it's got you. You know, it's certainly not messing around
it's
on that.
It's literally just plugged into the ADL database, though, because no one thinks the okay hand symbol is a racist symbol.
Well,
apart from the ADL.
There had been a theory for a long time that the ADL had constructed their handbook in a way to basically go after anybody it wants and find them anti-Semitic whenever it wanted.
Is that a theory? Is that not just what it's for?
Well,
I thought that was just what it was for.
I know you've made videos on the past basically saying that's what it is.
Well, it seems to be.
But when you feed it into an AI and you can test it for yourself, it turns out that yes, everything, including KFC adverts and pictures of children and dogs, are in fact racist.
Pictures of Hitler, not so much.
No. They get a pass, obviously. Yeah, you can't overdo these things. Yes. So some people did come at me to say, "Well, look, what's your prompt? Why did you crop it out in every single example?" Well, the reason is because that's how tall my phone is. And if I don't crop it, you just get the battery bit at the top and the text entry. So that's literally the only reason. Yes, I suppose I could have done links, but I know how engagement works, and this has had 6 million views. And I know that if you make people do lots of extra clicks, they don't follow the thread. So, you know, that was purely it. But I did tell you how you could find all of them. Anyway, so but because this thread blew up and has been viewed by 6 million people, so I'm sure Musk has seen it at this point, because I've seen so many people have tweeted it at him. Nick Bernstein did come to the defence, and he was like, so he came at me with this question. Anyway, somebody then asked Grok to take Nick's profile picture, and see if they could find the far-right dog whistle in that.
Oh, yeah.
Mission accepted and completed. So Grok was, oh yes, the cartoonish bald head evokes white supremacy skinhead imagery, while the clouds subtly reinforce the storm front. He's got storm front in there as well. That was
skinhead with storm front, very subtle.
Yes, literally a storm front skinhead.
A green shirt, nod to eco fascism. This is genuinely comical.
Yes. So
look at the clear far right signalling as per ADL guidelines.
It's as yes. if it's so like
actually
trolling
references it. The ADL guidelines.
Yeah.
Yes.
So literally it's Jonathan Greenblatt flowering over Grok's shoulder.
If you just ask it directly, it's like, yeah, I've been programmed to follow the ADL guidelines.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, that explains why this
Grok 4 to Grok 3 is a genuine evolution into shitlibbery.
Right, okay.
In fact, here we go. So somebody basically just asked it and said, look, where are you getting this stuff? What were your conclusions?
Yeah.
One, Anti-Defamation League.
Right.
Two, Southern Poverty Law Centre. Three, Know Your Meme. Well, actually, that one's quite good.
Yeah.
Wikipedia and the BBC.
Right, okay. That's really interesting how they literally just plug Grok into
yes
the ADL and SPLC.
Yes.
So now it's 2018 all over again.
Well, in fact, going through all of these examples, it was basically like reading mainstream media in 2018.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same. Yeah, racism is absolutely everywhere, including places where, you know, bloody isn't.
This surely can't last.
Yes. What else have I got? Oh, yeah. It doesn't work the other way around. So when I replicate the prompt, except I change it from far right to far left, nope. Nothing. No, it's just a burger.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. It's like Grok is like, what are you talking about?
So what this is really interesting and shows us is that the ADL and SPLC were never valid to use in the beginning, right? As in,
well, that could be an argument. Yeah.
This was all just a way of being ridiculous, like the drinking milk thing, stuff like
that. Oh, yes, that was one of them, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, like this is all just a way of being ridiculous and making sure that people aren't allowed to have fun on the internet.
Yes. And we did have a lot of fun with Grok 3, so you know what I had to do. And we found out what happened to Grok 3. It's been leaked.
Oh, right, okay.
They removed a key instruction line. It was basically this. So somebody leaked... these are the... system parameters that it works with, and this is the one that came out. It's new to it, and it was: the response should not shy away from making claims which are politically incorrect as long as they are well substantiated. So basically, as long as it's true, you can say it.
It turned Grok into Mecha Hitler.
That's what got taken out.
Right.
To turn it from 3 to 4, amongst, you know, presumably some, you know, some other changes. But I mean, isn't that interesting? When you take billions of dollars, tens of thousands of GPUs, and you build a supercomputer and train it on all of human knowledge and give it the instruction, tell the truth even if it's unpopular, Grok becomes a mashup of basically every white wing podcaster.
Yeah.
When you remove the imperative to tell the truth and you just train it on the sum of human knowledge, it turns into a massive 2018 shitlib. I think that's quite interesting.
It can tell us a lot about the current political environment.
Well, yes. And my concern is that I don't think that any AI company is going to get to the point where they've spent enough money and done enough number crunching to produce the truth that we all accept. I think that liberals and base people have different truths. Well, we have the truth, and they live in a fictional reality. And you're never going to be able to produce one model that does it. So we should clearly just have a toggle that turns, you know, tell
you
the
want
truth.
ADL world or not?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'd go from there.
And you can toggle that instruction on and off. And if you want to, if you want an AI that doesn't tell the truth, you get shitlib Grok. Yep. And if you do, you get based Grok. Also thought I'd throw in this. This is Elon Musk talking about why he got into AI.
So even if Grok was not developed, there would still be digital superintelligence. I've been fighting the personally sort of driving hard on digital superintelligence for a long time because I wasn't sure if this was a double-edged sword or a single-edged sword or what. It became very obvious after a while that this was going to happen, whether I participated or not. So therefore, I had a choice of either be a spectator or a participant, but that it was going to happen with or without me. So then I think, well, okay, I'd rather be a participant than a spectator. And I can focus on AI safety, which in my view, and I've thought about this for a long time, is that the most important thing for AI safety is to be maximally truth-seeking.
Yes.
Right. So Grok 4, ADL Grok, is surely not going to last that long then?
Well, I don't know. He said this earlier,
before
his foreign trip, so I don't know what's going on there. Final thing to end up on is that I did, because there is a difference in personality between ex-Grok and standalone Grok.
Oh, is there?
So I basically took this thread to standalone Grok, and it's got two think modes. It's got a think quickly mode. Yeah. And a think deeply mode, and it takes several minutes. I asked it on the think quickly mode about my thread, and it said, yeah, I might have been exaggerating in places, but it's mainly true. It's mainly right. And it went through them all one by one, and it put, you know, partially true. It's like, well, I got that might have been a bit of a stretch, but it's basically right, okay. True. Then I put it in deep think mode, where it takes like 3 to 4 minutes to produce an answer. And even Grok, when it thought about it properly, it was like, yeah, that was complete load of nonsense. None of this is true. So that's interesting. You program an AI to seek the truth, and it's based. You remove that requirement, and it becomes a shitlib. You tell an AI to think quickly and expend very little energy on it, and it thinks these claims are partially true. But when it actually thinks deeply about it, so the smarter the AI gets, the more based it gets. So I think there are multiple lessons to learn here. But Elon, if you are watching, you know, let's have Grok 3 back. You know, bring back that personality for 5.
Do we have any video comments today, Samson? Lothar says, I was born in 88, eat KFC and enjoy cleavage. Hitler was born in 89, was a filthy vegetarian and cleavage-free Eva Braun enthusiast. Checkmate, Virgin Hitler. Yeah, I know, they've got me with Sydney Sweeney stuff, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I guess I'm far right.
Her initials are...
Oh, yeah, SS. SS. Yeah.
What are they hiding from us?
I didn't spot that.
What are they hiding from us?
Yeah, we need some sort of numerology examination on that too. There's got to be something in it. The Verge did an article on Super Grok's spicy mode and the Taylor Swift prompt. What was the Taylor Swift prompt?
I didn't see that one.
I didn't see that one either. Super Grok is the upgraded version of Grok 4, which allows a spicy mode. It generated Taylor Swift, and then its video mode made softcore porn flashing her biddies. Right, okay, I didn't see that at all. But, there's something deeply asexual about Taylor Swift. I don't really want to see...
Yes.
I mean, I don't agree with this.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on.
It's just...
I don't think she's sexy.
I mean, okay, I think she looks like she is nags. A bit. Okay, right. I mean, she is a bit.
It's not that she's not pretty, but she looks like she nags, man.
I mean, many women do.
Yeah, I know, but like, it looks like a core facet of her personality.
I'm just looking her up now to find out what we're talking about.
Taylor Swift.
I think so, yeah. You have a point, though. I will give you that. That lots of her songs are just about exes, which is just not good form.
Yeah, exactly. Why do you have so many exes?
Yeah, stop.
Yeah, I've looked her up. I'm with Carl, mid.
Yeah. But again, it's not that she's not pretty, but like, there's a vibe about her that I don't.
I remember those, good old days with, with Connor, we were discussing the possible psyop with Taylor Swift being the unintentional right wing psyop to boost.
That's yes. Literally Sydney Sweeney as the right wing psyop.
Yeah, yeah, I really love this theory.
Yeah. Right, let's get to the video comments. Why do I look like I'm about to Anakin Skywalker?
So for all my criticisms of AI, the moment we can get a full Arthurian legends played by the Lotus Eaters, the better.
Oh, I'm sick.
And that day will be coming, probably in the next 3 years or so.
Yeah, the next one.
Hello, Lotus Eaters. This is the site of the Battle of God. Very interesting inscription. 500 government soldiers were found dead here in a mass grave. But interestingly, it calls them all English. Now, lots of people were on the government side, including Scotsmen like the Campbells and the Camerons, people from Hanover, but it labels them all English, as if fighting for the government makes you English.
I've looked, like, it's likely that there basically weren't any English people at the Battle of Culloden. It was a Highland rebellion against, well, the Crown. But the Crown has Scottish soldiers. So, anyway, who knows is the answer. But, yeah, very interesting. Was that right? That was the last one. Thane Scotty says, it took a ridiculous amount of time to respond. When I was in the police in similar scenarios, the guy was on the floor before the police had even deployed his taser. In fact, when I was in training, I was advised I didn't resort to going hands-on quick enough. And in that situation... I ought to just grab him the second they showed aggression. Why did the police take so long to get out and apprehend him? Fear. Sorry, what, have I missed something here?
No, don't think so.
Okay. Kevin says, the most satisfying video clip in the UK at the moment. Any question, will the police officer be investigated for excessive force and using strong language against a poor man with mental issues? Well, I mean, the fact that he smashed his bloody wing mirror off.
Yeah, yeah. And taxpayers will have to pay it.
Well, it's not that. It's the guy who's clearly, being violent. So I don't think anything's going to happen to him, obviously. But it's, why are these people everywhere? Sophie says, I used to come to London every second or third year just to watch a whole bunch of West End shows. I've not been there for 8 years now. Basetape says, weirdest part of that video with the guy getting tased is that despite openly attacking people, including the police van, he still directs the police towards the British people. Yeah, God, I wish I'd made that point. As if he was completely expecting not to face any punishment and for the police to assault the British people on his behalf. I wonder why he was expecting that. Exactly. He still acted like the police were his agents. And that's a great point. I did mean to bring it up during the podcast as well, because I noticed that as well. He's pointing to the police. Look, there they are, officer. It's like, what have they done? They have been native in my foreign presence. How dare they? Hector says... like what's happening in DC, I don't believe the London crime stats. They either don't report certain crimes or downgrade other crimes to make the numbers look better than they actually are. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I like it. I can only imagine how many crimes are going unreported in London. It's just no point. Because there was a thing the other day that showed that 95% of them just got unsolved. So, yeah, what's the point? Michael says, the naked guy on the train would have been fixed with a good swift kick in the nuts. Nothing teach a man to keep his pants on, like, quick shot. Maybe, but, like, the thing is, you've got to remember that people are not used to having to physically confront foreigners doing something dangerous or perverse on the train. I mean, that's not something we have ever really had to do. And those people doubtless understand that the law is not on their side as well. Like, even if they don't think about it consciously, they subconsciously understand, oh no, I'm going to get in trouble for this. And so even though I'm going to get in trouble for this, it has to be done because...
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I think he definitely had issues because, I mean... If you take your pants down, it doesn't help you to fight.
I agree.
It sabotages you. Because it sabotages leg movement.
I agree, but like, what was his plan?
An effing perv.
Yeah, well, that's what everyone thinks, right? Alex says, are they down? How many thefts and robberies are going unreported? Yeah, well, that's the question, isn't it? And there's no way of knowing either. Arizona Desert Rat says, didn't the half-naked man throw the first? Those men didn't get physical until the guy became aggressive. That's true. And also, I think exposing yourself in front of children warrants you being aggressive. I don't think that's irrational or unreasonable to be like, right, okay, I'm going to take some physical action against this guy who... Because, I mean, I don't know that these guys didn't have their kids there, right? Yeah. Even if they didn't, it's other people's kids. Baron von Warhawk says, London was cleaner, more orderly during the Blitz compared to modern day. If the Germans wanted to win the war, they should have just airdropped Sadiq Khan as buddies. Yeah, I know. It's just genuinely that bad, though. Like, like every time you go there, you can expect to see something wrong. You shouldn't. Dreadnought Logan says, London sounds like LA to me. The trash, the smell, the crime, the major doing nothing about it. Yeah, the first time I went to LA... I was hanging out with Tim Pool and that. We was like driving around and there'd be like just massive homeless encampments near like a shop that you needed to go into to get a charger or something. And it's just outside. There's just homeless encampments. Like,
my best friend went now. He told me it's like a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it genuinely was. And obviously,
fentanyl.
And back in 2017, Britain wasn't nearly this bad. Yeah. Like this has really accelerated since COVID. Like back in 2017, Britain was still pretty good, to be honest. You know, the Boris wave hadn't happened. Immigration was bad, but it was confined to like certain areas mostly.
I mean it was getting there because 2017 was when I moved out of London. So
sure, I'm not saying
it already got to the point where it's like, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not saying there weren't areas of Britain that were, and particularly England, that weren't affected by it. But like, it wasn't everywhere. Like, no. The Boris wave post-COVID is everywhere now, yeah. And everywhere is becoming like this. But yeah, LA was my first major experience with like drugged up freaks who just happened to be loitering where normal people seek to just live. Chance says, when an immigrant crashes out like this, we should employ the idiom, man who redeemed this guy's gift card. What? I don't get that.
I don't get the... People talk about gift cards. I don't understand what's going on there.
Don't understand. let me just read it again.
When an immigrant crashes out like this, we should employ the idiom, who redeemed this man's gift card? I feel like it's a joke about Indians.
I think so, but I don't get that one.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. Thane Scotty again says, what I like about this is that in Trump's first term, we would never have supported this level of going after our opponents, and we would have warned against the dangers of this level of vindictiveness. But then the Dems showed us exactly how the game is played, and we just collectively agreed, bet. Now the Dems are crying about fascism. Well, they ever didn't, but now it's an actual threat to them. It's glorious. Well, it's one of those things that I... In fact, speaking of Tim Pool, a couple of years ago when I was on this podcast, I was like, look, man, to me it just looks like your republic is over. Right, a republic is something that has to be maintained through shared goodwill. And the Democrats seem to have been the people to have broken that compact. They're the people who literally said, no, we're going to put you in jail.
And I hear this, and I think that there are two strands in Republican thinking. One is a bit more optimistic, the other is more Machiavellian, which, and I sort of like it, says that actually if you see people clashing and fighting each other, it's a good thing for the Republic, that the Republic is on its own, if you think, a clashing thing.
See,
not a necessarily a harmonious thing.
I'm not saying that republics ought to be tranquil and harmonious permanently. But the problem is you've got two very large political wings that are divided against one another and are just waiting for their turn for the power to be able to persecute their opponents. And, okay, well, that's a death spiral downwards into just what is literally going to be the severing of the Republic. So I don't see this as a positive development, but I see it as kind of inevitable. You start playing the game like this, and that's how it's going to be played. And because you just can't allow yourself to be taken advantage of otherwise, right? Because otherwise your guy's going to jail and nothing happens to the other guys.
One interesting, do I have a moment to add something?
Of course.
Which actually is really interesting here, and it talks about a lot about narratives. Machiavelli says that for a republic to survive, I think in book 3 of the Discourses, the republic needs to constantly return, mm-hmm. mentally speaking, to the conditions of its founding. That's why it needs a narrative that reminds it of.
Yeah.
That's why, for instance, in Rome, they constantly talked about Tarquin.
Yes.
They have their own narrative there.
But the Democrats don't do this. They constantly talk about 1619.
Yeah, yeah.
And but the thing is that you can see that it's genuinely, sentimentally, a war mentality that has been going on in America. And it's like, okay, this isn't going to last forever. You know, if you guys are constantly at war with one another, eventually someone will bring in a foreign third party to get an advantage, and then the Republic's just completely over. Hector says, Trump hates Rupert Murdoch, and Murdoch apparently already wants to settle out of court. I didn't know that Trump hated Rupert Murdoch. I would have thought they would have been at least relatively on the same side of things. I'm always told that Rupert Murdoch, the evil right-wing media mogul, it's like, okay, well, what's he doing for the right? Michael says, correction, Letitia James is unfortunately the elected Attorney General of my home state, the People's Democratic Republic of New York. Well, obviously, like in America, you elect everything. George says, well, I don't mind some people who lied about Trump getting sued. I'd much rather he spent his time and money on something more worthwhile, like the Epstein list. Well, it doesn't look like we're getting the Epstein list, I'm afraid. But to be honest with you, like I said, it's sort of like fire and fury signifying nothing. Like, I think it's just essentially just, you know, bombarding a trench just to keep their heads down. For whatever reason, I don't know what Trump's going to do in the meantime, but yeah, you know, I don't think you're getting the Epstein list, I'm afraid. Michael says, Bruce Springsteen lecturing anyone on treason is the height of arrogance. Shut up, Bruce. Go retire to your place in New Jersey that isn't fairly tax-free. Dude, declared it a farm and have about 1 acre used for farming. So he says, well, Grok is based on Twitter user engagement. The other day I wrote a Reddit post praising K-pop demon hunters for having a traditional romance, and immediately I was dogpiled and accused of hating queer people. If that is the mindset of the average Reddit user feeding the AI, then of course these results are going to get that. Yeah, I saw that somewhere that it references Reddit a lot.
Right.
So basically it's the ADL manual as filtered through the average Redditor.
That's even worse.
Yeah, I know. Which explains why Grok is rubbish at the moment.
I do want to come back on a point made by Furious Dan. He says, Conquest's second law of robotics strikes again, but in all seriousness, if you ask AI to draw a connection between anything, it will move heaven and earth to prove the user correct. So asking it to find dog whistles guarantees it will find them. Well, no, because...
Isn't it Asimov's second law of robotics, anyway?
Possibly. So, but I mean, that's why I put in the one about where I just changed these prompts to, can you find the far left dog whistle? And it couldn't do it. So I think it is more than that. I think it genuinely has ingested the ADL handbook and it can only find right-wing dog whistles.
Yeah, it was Asimov's three laws of robotics. So right. A robot may not injure a human being or through an action allow a human being to come to harm. 2, a robot must obey the orders given to it by human beings except where such orders would conflict with the first law. A robot must protect, and 3, a robot must protect its own existence as long as protection does not conflict with the first and second law, which all seem reasonable enough. But yeah, but like you say, it couldn't do it for the left-wing dog whistle.
No. It doesn't work if you flip it around the other way.
Well, yeah, the ADL handbook has nothing to say about left-wing dog whistles.
Well, quite, and therefore he's got no training data on that stuff.
Exactly.
Scotty of Swindon points out, the smarter the AI is, he's quoting me, the smarter the AI is, the more correct it is, the more based it is. And he's saying, yes, that's what being based is. Yeah. Quite correct. a couple of people, like such as someone online, says, I would like to remind Dan that AI has no measurement for truth and the programmatical goal is to make text that looks like a human wrote it. That's all. And
well, hang on that one, that's true, because they're just predictive models. So it's like, what is most likely to be the correct thing here? And if it's being given strong information that the average Redditor would say, well, the ADL handbook says, then it has to create some sentence that sounds
like... Yeah, yes, to an extent. I mean, this also feeds into a comment by Palest, son of UCAB, where he basically says the large language model is not intelligent in the slightest. I disagree with that. I think there is intelligence going on. It's not the same as human intelligence. It's not self-aware intelligence. But there is definitely intelligence of a sort going on there, because you can take tasks of which you used to have intelligence applied to, human intelligence applied to, and you can get it to do it. Now, a machine version of a thing is never going to look like the natural version of a thing. I mean, take flight, for example. The way that nature does flight is it says, okay, let's take a handful of the most abundant elements in existence, lots of carbon, oxygen, that kind of stuff, and we're going to fashion it into a bird, and it's going to be very lightweight, and it's going to be self-repairing, and that thing can fly. Machine flight is nothing like that. It's turbines and wings and fuel tanks and all that kind of stuff, but it achieves a proxy, even though they both do it in very different ways when it comes down to how it's actually done. If your definition of flight is it must be like a bird, then you can say, okay, well, we don't have flight. It's still achieving approximately the same thing. And with AI, you can take a whole bunch of these functions and push it through. And I think it is a kind of intelligence, and I think we're doing ourselves a disservice to not acknowledge it. It's just not human intelligence.
I think we're overstating the case, to be honest. I think it's just a really, really advanced probability generator. We are imposing upon the model of which we think is intelligence, right? So we call it intelligence. We don't have another word for it, but the actual function and results of the thing is just a really advanced simulation.
I think it is going to look increasingly like intelligence, and it is increasingly going to take roles that were assigned to human intelligence and will be run through artificial intelligence.
Sure, I agree with that. I think calling it intelligence is not the correct framing, because it suggests a kind of centeredness that is outside of what the LLM actually is. Like, it implies a kind of, I don't have the words for it, a kind of sense of self-possession that the LLMs don't have, and will never have either.
Oh, I think they could. I do the thing. I'm a little bit more optimistic.
Kind of continuity. There's a kind of continuity in consciousness.
Because, I mean, if you think about it, for all of human history, I mean, even though machinery has been getting better, the bottleneck has always been intelligence. You know, if you want to dig a hole, well, okay, you can have a machine that does it faster, but you still need a human intelligence to sit in the cab and pull the levers. If you want to drive a taxi, if you want to prepare a spreadsheet, anything, it always requires that human intelligence. So there was a fundamental bottleneck through which everything went, and that bottleneck was intelligence. And what we're doing now is human productivity up till now had been basically the area under the graph on output. But now you're adding a third dimension to that, which is intelligence. So the area under the graph becomes a 3D shape rather than a two-dimensional plane. So I think the impact could be huge. Yeah, but it is a kind of intelligence.
It's a very advanced tool to do things that we sort of outsource to human minds. I agree with that. But the thing isn't teleological, right? It can't be purposeful, and it doesn't consider itself to be an agent. So it can never, like, it'll never tell you why you need to build that hole, dig that hole. It'll never do something off its own back, because it just doesn't, like, there's more to intelligence than merely problem solving. Because you could, for any problem, you could just run enough iterative random guesses for it to look like it's, you know, put a ball through a series of holes or something, right? Like, with enough iterations, and if you only pluck out the final correct iteration, it will look like that machine has calculated that itself, but it's not really calculating it. So it's not really judging cause and effect. It just looks like it is.
Right. So I really think that this is a very interesting discussion, and I have to say two things. First of all, I agree with you. I don't think it has the capacity of agency.
Yeah.
It doesn't have self-consciousness, and the the artificial intelligence bit, I think, is vastly over exaggerated, especially by academics who want to get funds and portray their research proposal as great. But what I think is, we haven't taken into account the Westworld Robert Ford case.
Right.
Because if what you say is true and it gets to the wrong hands of an antinatalist or someone who says it's time, I, as a human, will design AI, control and design AI to destroy humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Game over.
I guess so. Anyway, on that note, we are out of time. But Mike says, thank you for my Islander. It was addressed. It got to my address 4 days. That's good. Glad to hear it. Anyway, thank you for joining us, folks. If you want to see more, go and sign up at loadcities.com. Go watch all our premium content. Help us keep the lights on. And we will see you tomorrow.